The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Bob, if this is your first time joining us, as always, we want to hear from you. We want to know where you guys are joining us from, what location you're joining us from, and if you are new, let us know by saying that you first time viewer or I'm new to the broadcast. That way we can acknowledge you. And at this time, we want to welcome all of our podcast audience. We want to welcome our YouTubers, our Rumble audience, those that may be viewing or watching by the app. We welcome you as well. Today, we've got an interesting topic today. This entire message or this podcast today was based on a new poll that was released last week that we shared on our main website at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And it was in relation to something that was published by the Christian Post. I wanted to give you a little bit of an excerpt, a little bit of a summary on that poll that was released, and then and why it inspired me to do the podcast that we're going to talk about. Here's the headline. Less than half of Americans, or 63% of professed church-going Christians, believe that Jesus existed before Christmas. Let me say that again. Less than half of Americans, including only 63% of professed church-going Christians, actually believe that Jesus existed before his virgin birth in Bethlehem. This was a new study from Lifeway Research. The study conducted between September 3rd and the 14th of this past year, or this year, through an online survey of a national pre-recruited panel of 1,005 Americans. I don't know, understand why didn't they just do 1,000? I don't know what the point of the 1,005 was, but nevertheless, 1,005 Americans that were surveyed showed that only 2 in 5, or 41% of American adults in general, believe that Jesus existed before his Bethlehem birth. Some 32% disagree with the idea that Christ ever existed before his birth in Bethlehem, while 28% say that they're not even sure. Now, guys, when I read this, it absolutely flustered me, because here I am sitting here reading this and saying to myself, what in the world? How is this even debatable? How is this not? Now, look, I understand from quote unquote Americans in general, you know, that means church going, not church going, atheists, agnostics, believers, Protestants, Catholics, whatever. I get that. But professed church-going Christians, only not even a, just a little bit over half of them, only a little bit half of them believe that Jesus ever exists in the Bible. Guys, I have to ask myself, this is the question that I ask myself. What is being taught in pulpits and churches in America? I mean, we're having Sunday services. We're having Wednesday night services. We're having church services. So what is being taught? Because this is absolutely mind-boggling that we can't even get this right. I can bring up other polls and we could discuss all this on this entire episode, but I'm not. But you've got people that don't believe in the working of the Holy Spirit. You've got people that believe that they don't need to go through Christ alone to make it into heaven, and they can just make it into heaven by just being a good person. I mean, and these are professed Christians. So today, I knew as soon as I read this and as soon as we posted this, I said, there is no way on my watch that any of our viewers, any of our supporters and followers of our ministry are going to be ignorant of this. So today, I've taken the time out to put all the, well, I wouldn't even say all of them, but a majority of the scriptures I put together today is going to prove once and for all, and you can use this. You can, when we're done with this, I want you to share this. I want you to educate your children on this and show them this stuff, because we're not going to have people ignorant of this. This is pathetic, sad, and absolutely ridiculous. So this is why we're going to discuss this today. So let's get after it. We got a lot of scripture. We're going to show it to you today. We're going to prove to you today. And let's go all the way back to the beginning of this thing in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It's right there on the screen. You guys watching the visual, this can follow along with me. You guys that are watching or listening by podcast or Spotify or whatever platform you listen to. Again, this is Genesis 1, verses 1 and 5. In the beginning, God, and that word God is Elohim, and is a plural tense word for God, plural tense. And there's a reason for that. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And I want to point out here that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters before the completion of the entire creation was created. The Holy Spirit was here. He wasn't in the church. The church was never birthed yet, but God Elohim was here. The Spirit was here. And now watch this. And then God said, quote, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light and that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now there's been a lot of controversy here, because I want to show you something. Notice here that it said, and God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light and that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. So there was a separation of this light that separated light from darkness. But then you go over here to Genesis chapter 1, or when you get down to verse 14 and 19, and then it says, and then God said, let there be lights, plural tense, in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, here's what's interesting is that light, as we understand it, separating day and night, we see here was completed on day four. But up here in Genesis chapter one, on the day one, he says he spoke light into existence. The light mentioned in Genesis, the light here in Genesis chapter 1, many rabbis refer to this light consequently as what they call the primeval light of creation, or what they say was where Christ was made manifest. Now, you say, I don't know about that, Brother Ricky. That's stretching it. But I want to give you some more verses here on this, because let me point something out to you. Let's go back up here. Notice it said God divided the light from the darkness, and it's in context here with this light in which he spoke and there was light. Now, if you go down here to John 1, 1 and 15. Look at what it says here. In the beginning, we just covered that, the beginning, was the Word. Now, I'm going to ask some of you guys, this is a rhetorical question, by the way. Who is the Word? Jesus. In the beginning was who? The Word. And the Word was with God. See, you have God, and then you have the Word. And I know there's going to be the people's going to argue about this, because you got a lot of people that they get into this whole rift and discord and division about I'm going to get ahead of myself. I want to explain this. Let me just use scripture, guys, before we get into this. Let's just read on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're not questioning that. Who's he? The Word was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Who is him? Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Now look at this. In him was life, and the life was the, here it is, light of men. See how there's this connection between light and Jesus. Remember, he said, I am the what? Light of the world. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not, or did not comprehend it. Y'all see that? Now look at this. John 6 and 13. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. This man came for a witness. This is John 6, John chapter, I believe it's actually John chapter 1, verses 6 through 13. So that's a typo. John chapter 1, 6 through 13. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Who was the light? Jesus. That all through him might believe. He was not that light, John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Now stop. If Jesus never made his appearance until he was born into a manger in Bethlehem through the Virgin Mary, how in the world could he have created the world in the beginning? Hello? It says the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Listen to this. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Now, this is talking about after he was made when he was born in flesh. He took on a fleshly body. He was half man, half God. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That's us that receive him, that believe on him. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Again, guys, that's John chapter 1, verses 6 through 13. Again, so we see here that it appears, and I just proved to you from the book of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became God. So he was in the beginning. He was with God. Holy Spirit was there. Now watch this. What's interesting is God in the beginning, and all the way from the beginning, God speaks of himself in plural tense. Whoa, what? Yeah, let me show you this. Let's go back up here. Look at this. Genesis 1, 26, Genesis 11, 7, and 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Those are going to be our references here. Ready? Let's go. Genesis 1, 26. And then God said, who's speaking here? God. What did I tell you earlier? Genesis chapter 1, the word God here is a Hebrew word, Elohim, and it's a plural tense. Plural, meaning more than one. And then God said, let us. Last time I checked, the word us is plural tense. He didn't say let me, let I. He said let us. Let us make man in our image. Again, the word our is plural tense, not singular. You have us and our. God said, let us make man in our image according to our, plural tense, likeness. Let them who? Men. Humanity. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Genesis 1:26. So we see in the beginning, when God created us, he's speaking in plural tense. Then you go to Genesis chapter 11, verse 7. We see the construction of the Tower of Babel by Nimrod. And God, plural tense, Elohim, is looking down from heaven. And Nimrod and the men that are revolting against God said that they're going to build this tower to the heavens. And God says, quote, come, let us, plural tense, go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech, Genesis 11, 7. Now, hold on. Now, Brother Ricky, the us here and the our here is God speaking. It's God the Father speaking to the angels. No, wrong, because we are not created in the image of an angel. We're created in the image of Elohim, of God. Now, was there angels present there? Yes. Could they have been a part of the our and the us? Sure. If from a technical standpoint, they were. According to the book of Job, they were the first chief of God's creation. They were there. Lucifer was there in the beginning. The angels were there in the beginning, in the heavens. So we'll give you that. But when we go to 1 John 5, 7, and 8, it gives us a more clear picture of what this us and our and Elohim is all about. Ready? 1 John 5, 7, and 8. And in my opinion, in the New Testament, this is one of the greatest revelations on this. And in my opinion, it separates all this nonsense and argument and division and strife and discord over this. Because when you read this, it's plain, guys, and simple to comprehend this. Ready? This is 1 John 5, 7, and 8. For there are three, somebody say three, that bear witness in heaven. Where? Heaven. Where's God's throne? Heaven. There are three that bear witness in heaven. And then John tells you who they are. Ready? The Father, the Word, and we've already established who the Word is. It's Yeshua. It's Jesus. So the three in heaven, Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And by the way, all three were present at the creation of the earth. The heavens, the sea, the dry land, all the, and we're going to prove that to you more and just, we're going to go deeper. And these three are one. Wow. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And by the way, you and I have the Spirit, the water, and the blood when we're born again. I'm going to show you scriptures for this. I know I've got scripture. Here it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Before we get there, let me bump back up here. Listen, guys, you're probably not going to see my face very much unless you see in that little bitty corner up there at the top of the screen up there, because I got to keep these scriptures up there to show you this. Now watch this. God said, let us make man in our image. Now, we have already established here in 1 John 5, 7, and 8 that there are three that exist in heaven. Who are they? Again, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So when God created us in his image, I believe, watch this, just like, look at this. He says on earth, there's three that bear witness on earth, Spirit, water, blood. Now look at this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Again, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church of Thessalonica. And listen to what he said. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So what is the compound? What are we made up of? We are spirit. We are soul. By the way, the soul is the mind, will, and emotions of any of the individual. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. You listen, oh, come on, somebody. We have flesh and blood. I can cut my arm. I can feel. I have nerves. I have pain. I have flesh and blood there. But in me, on the inside of me, is my soul. It is the mind. It is the will. And it is the emotions. But then in the heart of me, in the innermost chambers of my being, is what's called the spirit. And when you are born again, your spirit is born, reborn. It is true. That's why Jesus said, a man must be born again. You're born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. So your flesh, listen to me, this old flesh right here has to be renewed and transformed daily. Your mind. Again, when I say flesh, I'm talking about our carnal flesh, our mind, our will, our emotions, all that's together. That has to be, what's the Bible said? The Bible says, you know, it says, let your mind be transformed daily by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How do you transform your mind daily? You do it through the washing of the word, the reading of the word, your devotional time with God, getting into his presence, getting into prayer, getting into his devotion. And devotional private time with God. That's how you renew your mind. Listen, if you don't renew your mind because you have this flesh on, you are carnal. Listen, you wake up, your flesh is going to want to sin. Your flesh is going to want to revolt. Your flesh is going to want to be lazy. Your flesh ain't going to want to read the word. Your flesh ain't going to want to get into prayer. Your flesh ain't going to want to get into intercession. Your flesh don't want to go to church or be into a gathering of other believers. So you have to bring it into subjection. Why do you think the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans? He said there's an internal conflict and a war that takes place. He said, when I will to do what is right, I find another law working in my members that wants to do what is wrong. Therefore, when I will to do what is good, I do what is bad. He's talking about the war of the spirit and the flesh. So again, this is all made over, but now we got to move on. I've got some more stuff I want to show you here. Watch this. What are we talking about today? We're talking about proving to you that before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, through a virgin, he existed beforehand. Colossians 1, 15 and 18. Look at this. He, speaking of Yeshua, Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. Oh, I don't know how deep you want to get with this, but you realize Jesus was the face of God, because I can show you in the Bible where God said if he was to reveal his face to the nations, then they would be burned up. No man can see his face and live. That's what the Bible says. So why do you think he told Moses to put a veil on his face? He told, when Moses said, show me your glory, he was talking about his face. He wanted to see God's face. And God said to Moses, I cannot show you my full face, face to face, because you will die. So therefore, he said, I'll show you my hinder parts, my backside. And this is why when Jesus came, we could see the face of the Father through Yeshua and through Jesus. And that's why he told the Pharisees and he told the Sadducees, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For the Father and I are what? Come on, somebody. One. Listen, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. This is Colossians 1:15 through 18. All things were created through him and for him. Listen to this. And he is before all things. Somebody say, he's before all things. And in him, all things consist. And he is the head of the body. That's the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Now watch this. Now I'm going to show you something really cool that you're going to enjoy. Let me recap something, and then we're going to move on to the final part of this segment today for our podcast. Ready? Here's what we need to recap. Ready? Jesus existed in the very beginning of time and was with the Father when the worlds were created. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. We know that he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. We know that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. We also know that John bore witness of this light. We also know that as many as that receive him, he gives us the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Come on, somebody. But now, here's the part that I love and is going to absolutely put the nail in the coffin, put the icing on the cake, whatever you want, analogy you want to call it, to prove to you that Jesus existed before Bethlehem. Ready? Here we go. Let me show you the first. And again, there may be some of these that I miss, guys. And in the comment section, if I miss one of these, let us know in the comment section below on YouTube, on Rumble, on Facebook, because these were the ones that I knew in my spirit that I wanted to put together with this. Watch this. This is John 8:48 through 58. Now, Jesus is having this extensive conversation with the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. Now, listen to this. If I honor myself, they're refuting him to be the Son of God. And he, listen when he says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him. Who's him? The Father. But I know him. And if I say I don't know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now stop. When he made this statement, it absolutely infuriated them. Why? Listen to this. And the Jews said to him, you are not even yet 50 years of age, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody say, I am. He is I am. Now, what is he talking about? Do you know that Abraham, when he went to Mount Moriah with Isaac, and he was going to sacrifice his firstborn, and he picked up the knife, and he was about to sacrifice his only begotten son, his only son. And when he lifted up the knife, the angel of the Lord stopped him. And Abraham looked over and saw a ram in the thicket. And at that moment, God revealed to Abraham, I believe, listen, people can debate this all you want, but I believe Abraham saw all the way thousands of years into the future, and he saw all the way to the day of Christ being hung on the cross as the sacrificial lamb, as the only begotten son. And he said, because here's why, he said, God has provided a sacrifice. Man, I felt the Holy Ghost right there when I said that. I'm telling you, like billows of it went all the way down my neck, all the way down to my feet. Abraham saw prophetically into the future. And this is why Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. What was he? How could he have rejoiced when Jesus was nowhere around? Because that was all the way back in the old covenant, and Jesus wasn't even born yet in Bethlehem, because Abraham saw prophetically into the future and saw that he wouldn't need to sacrifice his son. And it wasn't going to be a earthly lamb. It wasn't going to be an earthly goat. It wasn't going to be an earthly ram that was going to be used as a sacrifice of the shedding of the blood. It was going to be God's only son on the cross. And his name would be Jesus. And he says, I am. This is what's profound. Watch this. Let me pull this back up. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, before he was ever born, before he ever came into play, before he came ever came into the picture, he said, I am. Now, what is he talking about? I'm going to tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about when all the way into the book of Exodus, in the time of Exodus, when Moses was on the backside of the desert, who do you think revealed himself to Moses? I believe it was Yeshua. It was Jesus. And this voice spoke to him out of a bush that was burning, but was not being consumed. You do realize the Bible says that he is a consuming fire. You do understand that when John saw Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the book of Revelation, it says his eyes was like fire. And it says when he spoke, his voice was like the sound of many waters. So he's speaking to Moses. And he tells Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to set my people free. And listen to this dialogue. And Moses says to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Come on, somebody. Now look at this. I want to show you another one here. 1 Corinthians 10:14, Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He brings them into the wilderness where there's supernatural things going on. There is a fire by night. There's a cloud by day. There's manna falling. And look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul speaks to the church of Corinth. He gives them yet another revelation of the Holy Spirit about their forefathers that was in the wilderness. He says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Listen to this in verse 3. All ate the same spiritual food. That's the manna that came from heaven. Listen to this, verse 4. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Well, hold on. How could it be Christ? Because he was never born yet. Come on, somebody. If you're with somebody, just grab them and shake them a little bit and say, wake up. Are you getting it? He existed before he was born in the flesh. He has always been there. Oh, come on, somebody. I can tell you right now, listen, I feel a preaching spirit coming on me. He was there in the book of Genesis. He was in Exodus. He was in Leviticus. He was in Numbers. He was in Deuteronomy. He was in the Chronicles and Judges and Song of Solomon. He was all through the entire Old Testament. And then he's revealed in the New Testament. He's in every Bible. He's in every book of the Bible. He's in all 66 books of the Bible, some way, some form, some fashion, some presentation, some appearance. He has always been. He said, I am that I am. I'm the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I'm he that was before and he that which shall be. There is no beginning and no end. He's always been. He is I am. Come on. Come on. He is your provider. He is your redeemer. He is your deliverer. He is your healer. He is your banner. He is your salvation. This is the glorious revelation of this. Whatever you've got going on today, whatever you need today, he says, I am that I am. Just listen, why should I look to the stock market? Why should I look to this or to that or to this when the great I am has everything that I need for me today? But I'm not finished yet. I want to show you another one. I got to show you another one, guys. Look at this. John 12, 37 through 41. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. It's talking about Jesus performing signs, wonders, and miracles. And he came to his own people and they rejected him. They didn't believe on him. Listen to what it says. And it fulfilled the word of Isaiah the prophet, and which spoke and said, quote, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Listen to verse 39. This is John chapter 12, 37 through 41. Therefore, they could not believe it because Isaiah said again, quote, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Verse 41, these things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. What? Yes, folks. Isaiah the prophet saw Yeshua. He saw Christ in heaven before he ever came to earth and was born through the Virgin Mary and came in Bethlehem. Look at this. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with the two he flew. And one cried to another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. That's an interesting name, the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who had cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Listen to this. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Who is the King and the Lord of hosts? Come on, somebody. Who else but the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with his tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin has purged. By the way, what was the purpose of Yeshua? What was the purpose of the Son of Man? What was the purpose of the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts coming to the earth, being born of flesh and being flesh and God both, so he could spill his own blood, which would take to purge and to cleanse us of our iniquity? This is an absolute amazing picture of this, but I'm not done yet. I'm almost done, guys. I promise. Daniel chapter 3. Look at this. Daniel chapter 3. I'm not going to read all this for sake of time, but most of you know the story. There's four men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're in captivity to Babylon. They're under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar creates this image. He commands the people to bow down and worship this image. And if they don't comply, they will be tossed into the fiery furnace. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by the way, was not their real names. It was given to them. See, that's what the devil always wants to do. He wants to change your identity. Come on, he wants to take ownership of you. But God has given you a destiny. He's given you a purpose, and he's given you his own identity. Anyway, these three men fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, because they were tossed into the fiery furnace. Why? Because they refused to comply with Nebuchadnezzar, and they refused to bow down and worship his image. By the way, this is an absolute picture of Revelation 13, the false prophet and the Antichrist creating an image in which he will command the world to worship this image. This is a picture of, this is a prelude. I call it a prophetic prelude. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fiery furnace?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." Listen what Nebuchadnezzar says. "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking into the midst of fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth man is like the," and look, listen to the verbiage he used. "The fourth man is like the Son of God." Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Nebuchadnezzar is given a revelation that this fourth man is likened unto the Son of God. Now, where could he have got this? I didn't put this up here. Let me pull this out here, guys, so you can see me for a second. I didn't put this on here, but I want to give you the scripture because I want to show you something that was revealed in the Old Testament. That is, I have to show you this. Listen to this. All right. Almost there, guys. Give me just a second. I'm going to pull this up. This is Proverbs chapter 30. This is Proverbs chapter 30. Let me get the, here we go. Who, listen to this. This is Proverbs 30. "Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name?" Listen to this. "And what is his son's name?" That's Proverbs chapter 30. Can you believe that? It was revealed all the way back when that God had a son, and his son had a name. And Nebuchadnezzar, somehow, somebody, don't ask me to explain all this, but somehow Nebuchadnezzar had a revelation of who the Son of God was. And somehow all this, this one will keep you up at night. Let's think about this for a talking point, if you don't mind. Somehow Nebuchadnezzar even knew what the Son of God looked like. Because he says, "I see a fourth man in the fiery furnace, and he looks like the Son of God," before he was ever born in Bethlehem. Come on. Does this excite anybody, or is this just me? I mean, this is profound. Listen to this. Let me give you three more verses, and then we're going to close today. I told you, this is a lot of, this is an exhortation. This is a teaching today, because listen, our followers are not going to be ignorant of scripture. They're not going to be part of the statistics that didn't know that Jesus existed before he was born in Bethlehem. I'm showing you absolute proof. And now we got people arguing over Bible translations. It's amazing. The devil will keep you distracted on everything. Listen, can we focus on the subject? That's what I'm saying. Let's just focus on the topic. You can argue translations and all that stuff some other time. Hebrews 10, 4 and 5. Listen, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world," this is Jesus, "he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me.'" This is Yeshua speaking. Before he ever had a body that was covered in flesh and blood, he had a revelation and said, "You have prepared a body for me because I am going to be the sacrifice." John 17, 24, "Father, I desire that they also," this is when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. By the way, he was interceding for you and I's sins. He was taking on the sins of the world. And he says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." This is in heaven. which you have given me, for you loved me, listen to this, before the foundation of the world. Not when he was born in Bethlehem, not when he was in a manger, not when he was a carpenter, not when he was in the Jordan River being baptized by John, and the Father confirms him or gives him affirmation, said, this is my beloved son and who I'm well pleased. He didn't do that for Jesus' sake. He did that for the people that was around him to prove and to make absolute that he was the Son of God that was prophesied. Oh, come on. 1 Peter 1:18 through 21. Listen to this. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed, listen to this, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. When was he foreordained? Before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times or last days, does no harm to the scriptures there, for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. That is 1 Peter 1:18 through 21. Guys, listen to me. We have proven today, I believe, through dozens of scripture, line on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, and proven to you that not only is Jesus the Son of God, but he was here and he existed before the foundation of the world. And he just didn't pop out of a womb in Bethlehem and said, oh, this is the Son of God. No, he was there. It was planned. It was not. Everything went according to plan. And here's where I want to leave with this today. Listen, we can fill your head with head knowledge and inform you of this stuff. And you could go, ooh, and ah, and isn't that amazing? And isn't that wonderful? And you could share this and share this as information. But guys, you need to get the revelation of who Jesus is. He's not just, listen, he's not just the Messiah. He's not just healer. He's not just redeemer. He's not just provider. He is the Son of the living God. And the Bible says, there is no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. No man can come to the Father, what? Lest he come through the Son. The whole purpose of Jesus being brought from heaven to earth was to be the mediator, to reconcile us back to God because of sin. Sin separated us from God, but Jesus came. Come on. He came to shed his own blood as the only begotten Son, as the final sacrifice for our sins, that if any man believe in him, he gives us the power to become sons of God. Come on, to be sons and daughters and followers of him, to have our name put in a registry in heaven called the Lamb's Book of Life, that when our day comes, whether the trumpet sounds and we who are alive shall be caught up, or we expire. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And friends, if you are in him and you know him and you're in covenant with him, you have a relationship with him, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. When that day comes and you expire, you give up the spirit, you will have eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we want to give you that opportunity today. If you're watching us today, you're listening to us today, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you're backslid today, we pray the power of the Holy Spirit would convict you, draw you unto salvation, or draw you back to the fold. We pray that God would begin to move through this broadcast into your heart, onto your spirit, and that he would draw you into a relationship with him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again on the third day, if you will repent, and the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was being poured out upon the day of Pentecost, the men were convicted of their heart because the Spirit of God was moving. And they said, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said to them, repent, every one of you, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Listen, the word repentance has a twofold meaning. It means to turn from sin. It means to stop sinning. It also means to change the mind. So you're going in one direction, but you stop and do a complete 180 and you go in the opposite direction. So today, we're not going to live for ourselves anymore. We're not going to do things our own way. But today, we're going to surrender to Christ. We're going to give our heart to him. And we're going to get into the Word of God. We're going to get into prayer. We're going to get into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, doctrinally sound church or a group of believers in your home or whatever the case may be, so that you can grow and mature in your walk with God, so that you can do what God's will is for your life. So I want to pray with you real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that those individuals watching, listen today, wherever they're at, whatever their walk is, whatever their journey is, whatever it looks like for them, if they've never accepted Christ or if they're backslid, I pray that you would do your work right now, Father. If there's someone today watching this and listening to this and they're away from God, I pray that they would repent. I pray that they would turn their heart to you and they would get right with you today, for today is the day of salvation. If they're backslid today, I thank you for restoring people. I thank you for bringing people back to the fold today who's away and unwayward from you today by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said amen and amen. Guys, we want to give you an opportunity. If this is your first time joining us, we want to give an opportunity to follow us, or maybe this is the second time or third time you've come back and you're not aware of all the ways that you can follow us, keep up with our ministry, and go to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. There you can subscribe to our daily digest. If you've not downloaded our free app, again, it's absolutely free. It's available to you to download through the Apple Store or through the Android Store, depending on what kind of device you have. Again, just type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official logo that's right there on the screen. Download that, get it into your hands. You're going to catch all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Push yes to push notifications so you can get those breaking news alerts. And also you'll get our podcast available there to watch or to listen. And again, we're on YouTube, we're on Rumble. So those are platforms you can follow us as well. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. If you've not prayed about becoming a monthly partner to support our ministry, listen, all of our messages are free. Our subscription base is free. Our app is free. We don't sell merchandise of any kind. But if you want to support our ministry and you're blessed by our ministry, every week you get equipped, you get informed of what's going on, the prophetic updates, all of it is a blessing to you. We want to give you the opportunity to support our ministry. And you could do that by giving electronically through the app or through the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Or you can give by check or money order. And again, please make that out to End Time Headlines right there on the screen, P.O. Box 1391 Monroe, Georgia, and that's 30655. As always, guys, we thank you for taking the time out today to be a part of this broadcast. Don't forget to share. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to hit the push notifications or the bell there on YouTube and Rumble, or however you do that on Rumble. Share the podcast on Spotify, on Apple, whatever the case, share the app, guys. If you know people that would enjoy our ministry through the app, tell them, say, hey, they got an app. It's free. Download it. Get it into their hands. Again, we appreciate you doing that for us. Tomorrow, we'll be back on here, Lord willing, and we will have something for you guys lined up. Not sure what we're going to do yet. We're kind of playing it by ear, praying about that. It'll either be another encouraging, equipping message, or it'll be a prophetic viewpoint. We'll talk about something, whatever the case may be. Then we'll take off on Wednesday, be back on Thursday and Friday. We usually do about 4 days a week, unless we're jam-packed with stuff, and sometimes we go all 5 days of the week. So that's kind of what our itinerary looks like. So we're going to sign off for today. And we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his countenance be upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.